When Tangela Bolden Myers had hip surgery, she went to her pharmacy for a narcotic to bring down the swelling and ran into trouble. The pharmacist didn't want to fill her prescription because Bolden Myers had gotten Vicodin the week before.
I don't take the Vicodin like that, but they don't know me to know that. I'm like, the Vicodin I have locked in a safe for when I need it.
Vicodin helps her manage sickle cell anemia, a blood condition that causes severe pain episodes. Occasionally, Bolden Myers has to go to the emergency room for heavier medications and fluids for dehydration. But if she's at an unfamiliar ER, she says it seems like the doctors assume she's addicted to painkillers and faking the pain to get the medicine.
I have had to title drop, name drop, to say that I have this degree and that degree and I'm a certified trade counselor. And I'm in tears, or I'm crying, or I'm screaming, or I'm rocking and moaning, or all of these things together, and you just want to assume that I'm drug seeking.
There's no blood test to prove you're in pain. There's no measurement, no objective proof. I met 7 sickle cell patients in St. Louis, and all but one said they had been accused of pill seeking when they were going through a pain crisis. A 2010 review found that people with sickle cell disease waited almost twice as long as patients with kidney stones in the emergency room, even though they rated their pain higher on a 1 to 10 scale. Hematologist Allison King at Washington University in St. Louis says this is happening even though sickle cell patients are just about as likely to abuse opioids as anyone else. The patients she sees are often poor and black, and King says stereotypes about what an addict looks like can affect a doctor's judgment.
So if you imagine that I'm a 20-year-old black male who comes into the ER and I say, I have sickle cell anemia. I usually need, 3 milligrams of Dilaudid a couple times to get my pain under control. The default is this is a young black kid looking for drugs.
But the reality is, white people are the fastest growing demographic of opioid abusers. Among all drug overdose deaths in 2014, over 80% were white. I went to a local emergency room to speak with doctors about how they decide who gets drugs and who doesn't. After all, they're the ones who risk losing their license if they overprescribe. Paul Pfeiffer heads the emergency department at SSM Health St. Mary's Hospital, a nonprofit Catholic medical center in St. Louis.
You know, I do think sometimes we have a tendency not to give pain medications because I think there's, this thought that, that we do have a lot of seekers.
In every U.S. state except for Missouri, doctors have a computer database where they can look up how many prescriptions a patient has filled. The monitoring system can alert a physician if a patient is doctor shopping, going to multiple places to get pills. But Missouri doesn't have a database like this. The opposition comes from a prominent state legislator who argues it's a violation of personal privacy. So the decision to prescribe narcotics, Pfeiffer says, becomes a judgment call.
They don't have a tattoo right up on their forehead says I'm seeking, but I think you can, you see the personality, the way they respond to some suggestions on what you're going to do, and some become irate or they're just inappropriate. You know that there's some addictive patterns.
Since the opioid crisis, many emergency rooms have established policies to reduce the number of doses doctors prescribe. But pain management experts argue that putting doctors in this situation doesn't work. One patient advocate told me that even seasoned crime investigators have a hard time discerning a lie. What makes us think doctors can do it? Sickle cell patients who feel stereotyped say they stick together for support. They swap phone numbers and drive to the emergency room together if a friend is going through a crisis. And they vouch for each other.
But I just want to thank you all for joining us.
Each month, patients and family members gather around tables at the Sickle Cell Association office in St. Louis. The day I visited, there were plates of nachos to share, and a few more people called in to listen through the speakerphone.
I'm brought to this meeting because I love being around people like myself.
My daughter is 6, so everything that we're learning about is through trial and error.
The group talks about ways to navigate a visit to the emergency room. Erica Green leads the discussion. She's lived with sickle cell for 45 years. She says, above all, try to stay calm despite the pain.
Because you tend to get better care when you're respectful, when you know how to conduct yourselves, and when you have a problem in the ER, what steps to take to get those things rectified.
It's unlikely Missouri will catch up with the rest of the country and implement a statewide drug database soon. But the need is so great that several counties have agreed to create one of their own at the local level. Patients say that could help them prove they aren't abusing opioids, but it's a small step towards challenging the stereotype. For The Pulse, I'm Dari Buscarin.